may be seated. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Kings, please, this morning. 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 38 to 40. The title of my sermon this morning is, Why Should We Feel the Death of the Late Queen Elizabeth II? Why should we feel the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II? 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 38 to 40, it reads, So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the Kerethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon, and they blew the trumpet. And all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with the sound of them. Let's bow for prayer. O God, we rejoice in your soon return. And O God, I pray that you would help us to be faithful until that blessed moment. Teach us from your word this morning. We ask and pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We see within this passage of Scripture the anointing of Solomon as king of Israel. We have read that a priest and a prophet were involved within this passage of Scripture. We read of a processional to the place of crowning. And then once anointed, we read of trumpets were sounded, and the people cried out, God save the king. And then in verse 40, we read of a processional. This phrase, God save the king, is found five times in the Bible. When the late Queen Elizabeth II was crowned in 1953, the people cried out, God save the queen. With the announcement of Prince Charles III anointed, or appointed, I should say, at that point, as king, the people cried out, God save the king. It's interesting to note that during the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II in 1953, she was presented with a Bible. Then the moderator said these words, Our gracious Queen, to keep your majesty ever mindful of the law and gospel of God as the rule of the whole life and government of Christian princes. We present you this book, the most valuable thing this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law. These are the living oracles of God. So we see a very definite correlation with the British monarchy, the system of the British monarchy and the scriptures. And therefore I pose to you the question, why should we feel the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II? Now I use the word feel cautiously, in that I'm referring to valuing and seeing the importance of this historic moment in history, the changing of the guard. And I'd like to give you a number of reasons why we should feel, all of us as Bible-believing Christians, why we should feel as Bible-believing Christians the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II. Principle number one, wrapped up in the word reminder. A reminder of death. We have all one thing in common. That is mortality. Mortality. And part of the funeral service for the late Queen, James chapter 4, verse 14 was read. And it reads, "Where's ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." This verse stands true for all born into this world, even our late Queen. She had the best of the best in living standards. We would assume that. She had the best of the best in health care. She lived longer than most. In fact, her mother lived to 102. And yet she died at the age of 96. Death cannot be predicted, but death is certain. Beloved, life is short. Life is full of uncertainties. And it's by no coincidence that the Queen chose James chapter 4, verse 14, as one of the verses to be read at her funeral service. She chose it. Let me ask you this morning, are you prepared for eternity? You will die. It will be unexpected, but I can assure you it is definite. And with the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II, it is a reminder for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. We all die because we are sinners. We are in need of forgiveness. Let me ask you, my friend, this morning, are you prepared for eternity? You will die. You will die. Queen Elizabeth died. Lived to a ripe old age. But she died like everybody else. In Amos chapter 4, verse 12, we are charged, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. For he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. What about you this morning? Do you have the Son? I mean, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? My friend, the Bible teaches us it's appointed unto man once to die. Once to die and then the judgment. Prepare to meet thy God. And for those of us that have come to that place of receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And whenever anybody dies, it's a reminder to you and I that life is short, life is uncertain, and we should be living life in accordance to God's will.
according to James chapter 4, verse 15. If the Lord will, we shall do this or do that. It was of interest to me that the Queen, with the Queen's death, her crown with the scepter and orb were removed off the coffin. And the minister placed them before the altar of God. That's where they originally came from, at a coronation. They came off the altar of God. They came from God, symbolizing that they were returning to God. Her service as queen had come to an end. Her crown was returned to God. And for you and I that are saved this morning, we have the opportunity to earn spiritual crowns, do we not? And in 2 Timothy 2:5, the Bible reads, "If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." And then for those of us that will strive lawfully and earn the spiritual crowns that the Bible talks about, we will have the honor of casting those crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Revelation 4:10 talks about the 24 elders fell down before the throne of God and cast their crowns before the And then we read in Revelation 9. To reign on the earth for 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus, his head is described as having many crowns. That crown that authorized the Queen to be Queen of the British Empire, Commonwealth, was returned back to God. And those crowns that you and I have the privilege of earning as Bible-believing Christians, we can look forward to the opportunity of not only being in the presence of God, but casting those crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus. God is the one that gave us the ability to earn those crowns, and we have the privilege. Jesus will return.
Amen. Why should we feel the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II? It's a reminder that we all have one thing in common. It's called mortality. Her crown was returned back to God. My friend, only what's done for Christ will last. And in 2 John verse 8 it reads, "Look to yourselves that ye lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." The late Queen's crown was returned back to God. But we can earn crowns. We can earn spiritual crowns that we can present to God. A reminder that we all have one thing in common. That is mortality. That's why you should feel the death of Queen Elizabeth II. The second reason this morning why we should feel the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II is summarized in the word regalness. To be regal means quality. That is in reference to who she was. The name Elizabeth, E-L, God. Elizabeth means God of the oath.
She lived up to the commitment that she had made. She reigned for 70 years as queen over the British Commonwealth, of which Australia is a part of. She visited no less than 100 countries. 100 countries. And thank God she had a soft spot for Australia. She visited our country 16 of those 100 trips. She is the longest reigning monarch since Queen Victoria, who was a Christian, who reigned for 63 years up until 1901. Even during turbulent times within her own family and world events, she became and remained constant. An honourable summary of her life was simply this: she fulfilled her office with gravity, integrity, and grace. She had some guiding principles in her life, and first and foremost, her guiding principle number one was faith. And you might recall that during the Queen's funeral service, the minister referred to her, if you were listening carefully, I wish some of you would listen to the announcements, if you listen carefully to the minister's sermon, he made reference to before her coronation, she spent some quiet moments at the altar before God on her own. Did you catch that? Well, then you weren't listening if you didn't catch that one. That was gold right there. You missed gold. And could it be that she was dedicating her life to service? And if faith was really number one in her life, I would like to think at the altar of God, she was saying, God, use me and help me to fulfill to the best of my ability my role as queen of this British Empire. We should feel the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II because of who she was. Worthy of double honour. She was influential because of who she was. It's been estimated that no less than 4 billion people, 4 billion people, that's almost half the world's population, watched her funeral. Now, influence over others can come from your position, from a relationship, by your success or fruitfulness. You can influence somebody if you are of help to them, but the greatest means of influence on this side of eternity is and lies within who you are. And that's why 4 billion people watched her service, because she was a woman of quality. She was a woman of regalness. That 4 billion people are going to be interested enough to watch your funeral service, let alone mine. When John Dunmore Lang died, the first Presbyterian preacher in Australia that lived and breathed for the benefit of this nation during his funeral service, the whole of Sydney centre shut down, all the shops shut down. And it was estimated that 70,000 people, 70,000 people watched his service. The Queen, 4 billion people. A woman of regalness, a woman of quality, she was simply faithful to what she committed her life to. And in Matthew 25, 21, the Bible reads, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. She reigned for 70 years with consistency. That's worthy of honor. Why would you waste your time honoring some football player? Or some musician? Well, you've got a woman that reigned for 70 years constantly. See, faithfulness is priceless. And this is what God will look for on the day of judgment. It is required in stewardship that a man be found faithful. God wants you and I to be constant, to be faithful. That's what he knows. And this is what this woman exemplified in her reign. She became queen at 26 years of age and remained constant. Though individuals around her family were falling apart miserably, she remained constant. That's why you should feel the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II. Because of who she was. She'd been an inspiration to you and I as Bible-believing Christians to be faithful to our King, who is the King. And last but not least, why should we feel the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II? Not only because it is a reminder of the fact that we have all one thing in common, that is mortality. So let's prepare to meet our God. Let's walk in obedience to his word so that we might attain crowns that we can cast at the feet of the Lord Jesus. But also because of who she was faithful. But last but not least, because of what she represented, her representation. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 this morning. Are you still with me? Oh, Pastor, you're a monarchist. Well, so should you be. If you're a Bible-believing Christian, you should be a monarchist too. If you're not, shame on you. And I'll prove it to you right now. 1 Peter chapter 2, please. Look at verse 17. It reads, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor the king. Please note that 1 Peter was written during a time that God's people were being persecuted. The Romans were in authority. They were not kind to God's people. So 1st and 2nd Peter, these are epistles that are written to Bible-believing Christians that were being persecuted for their faith. They weren't enjoying the liberties that you and I enjoy today. And yet Peter writes, under divine inspiration, honor the king. Get it? Honor the king. Let me explain. There were three objects on the Queen's coffin, you might recall. There was a crown. There was a scepter. And there was an orb, a sovereign orb. All of these were presented to her at her coronation 70 years ago. Now, before they were presented to her, she was presented with royal garments that were placed on her, of which the minister said to her, "May the Lord clothe you with his robe of righteousness and garment of salvation." That was the first step of our late Queen's coronation. And then there was the presentation of those three objects. First was the orb, a golden globe surmounted with a cross on top. And she's presented this orb. And upon the presentation, the minister went on to say, it was a representation of Christianity over the world, of which Christ is the head. And as the queen took that orb in her right hand, God is the God of the right hand, not the left hand, that's why us lefties are persecuted. Yeah, we are. Well, it's actually biblical to persecute lefties. So she was given this orb in her right hand. And then the minister would say, "Receive this orb set under the cross and remember that the whole world is subject to the power and empire of Christ our Redeemer." Then she's handed the scepter. The scepter represents the crown's power and governance. And upon receiving the scepter once again in her right hand, the minister said, "Receive the royal scepter, the ensign of kingly power and justice." Last but not least, the crown. The crown. Upon becoming queen, she was about to become the sovereign head of state, that is, of the British Commonwealth Empire. And on that crown is a cross. Funny that, isn't it? A cross.
No, it's not funny. The reason for it.
That crown represents her sovereign rule over the British Commonwealth, but also that cross on that crown represents the fact that she's the head of the church of England. And she's to be the defender of the faith. Now, as the minister prepared to crown her queen, the minister stood before the altar of God with that crown, and he said these words, "O God, the crown of the faithful, bless we thee this crown. And so sanctify thy servant Elizabeth, upon whose head this day thou dost place it." Thou dost place it. For a sign of royal majesty. And that she may be filled by thine abundant grace with all princely virtues, through the King eternal Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Then the minister brings that crown and stood before the Queen. She remains seated. Everybody else stands. So while the Queen is still seated, and the people stand, and once the crown is put on her head, the people repeatedly shouted, "God save the Queen! God save the Queen!" Once that eventually faded out, the minister would say, "God crown you with a crown of glory and righteousness, that having a right faith and manifold fruit of good works, you may obtain the crown of an everlasting kingdom by the gift of Him whose kingdom endureth forever." And then the choir would sing these words, "Be strong and of good courage. Keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways." Do you see biblical Christianity? See, Australia is a state, a part of the British Commonwealth. We are a constitutional monarchy. The monarch's power is limited by our Australian constitution. Our Governor General is our link to the British Commonwealth. Our country is an autonomous, sovereign nation. We determine our destiny. And yet we enjoy the blessings, past and present, of being a part of the British Commonwealth. And why has God blessed our nation? which has its origins in convicts and alcohol as the first form of monetary currency. Work that one out. Doesn't make sense. Because God has blessed Australia. I think it was well said, the monarch is our, and this is a good way to sort of understand our connection to the monarch, is that the monarch is our de facto head of state. There is no marriage. It's de facto. Either can pull out at any time. But there is a connection. The British flag is made up of three crosses, known as the Union Jack. The cross of St. George, the cross of St. Andrew, and also St. Patrick's cross. By the way, he was a Christian, not a Catholic. Don't believe that lie that the Catholics are trying to propagate, that he was a Catholic. He was a Bible-believing Christian. The Union Jack is the British flag. And I trust you've noticed that we have the Union Jack on our flag in the corner. Why? Because we are a part of the British Commonwealth. And this gives us our link to not only to the British Commonwealth, it gives us our link to Bible Christianity. Our new king is not only head of state, head of the British Commonwealth, he's also the head of the church. And one of the roles of a monarch is to be the defender of the faith. King Charles III recently told a group of 30 religious leaders at Buckingham Palace that he would protect the space of faith. Well, I hope he does that. That's his job. He described himself as a committed Anglican Christian. Now we hope he keeps his word. For in the past he's been very accepting of Islamic teaching. So hopefully he'll rise up to the challenge. But the point I want to make is this. Why should we feel the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II? Number one, because of the reminder that all of us will die and need to prepare for eternity, and only what's done for Christ will last. Number two, of who she was, her regalness, she was faithful, though most of us in reality don't understand all that she did. Doesn't matter. She was faithful. She did what she was meant to do. And thirdly, because of what she represented, our link with the British Commonwealth is a permanent link to biblical Christianity. That's why you and I should feel the death of the late Queen Elizabeth II. When you say, it doesn't really concern me, Pastor, it should. You're a Christian. But Pastor, I'm not British. Are you a Christian? You came to this country because of what it offers? And what was at the heart of the blessing upon this nation? Biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity, that's why you're here. That's why my parents migrated here. And by God's grace, I'm not planning to go anywhere except to heaven. And what has made this nation great is biblical Christianity, and the monarchy links us to biblical Christianity. It would be a sad day if Australia ever becomes a republican nation. Because what that'll do, that'll sever us from our original Christian roots. And if that ever happens, that means that our national flag will have to change. Because it's got Christianity on it. It not only has one cross, it's got three crosses. Our coat of arms will have to change because there's the St. George cross on the coat of arms.